ordered back. Amen. I've been asked to continue a little bit further on the teachings we're doing. Then we'll round up the next time. Is that okay? Praise the Lord. Okay, what were we talking about? Okay, how many hard facts did I give to you? 14 or 15? Okay. Those of you who are writing it, what is number one? Number two. Number three. Number four. Number five. Number six. Number seven. Number eight. Number nine. Number ten. If you go to bed angry with each other, who will be on that bed that night? The devil. Number 11. Number 12. Only God can do what? 13. 14. 14. So I think we went through all that. That's very clear, isn't it? Good. Now I was telling you what the time of courtship was meant to do. Number one, I said it's a time for laying a solid foundation. Number two, it's a time of getting to know each other very well. Very well. Number three, time for spiritual fine-tuning. I think we're going to number four now. The time of courtship is a time for exhortation and marital counseling. Exhortation and marital counseling. That is, it is like a small holiday for you to run fast and gather strength. Five. It's a time of planning about the future. Can we go on? Six. It's a time of discovery. Discovery. That is, you are able to identify your common areas and your divergent areas. It's a time of discovery. Maybe you have come from a family where it's after you have finished eating your food, they give you meat. And he comes from a family where the meat comes immediately with the food. Everybody will struggle for their own before they start eating. You need to find out all those things. Seven, a time of examination. Examine. Eight, a time for mutual praying, praying together, prayer. praying together. One thing about prayer is this. Are you listening to me? The awesomeness of the power of prayer is still not very clear to the modern day man. Prayer is awesome. It is actually the greatest energy on earth. I tell you the truth. And if you are a prayer warrior, there is really nothing to worry about. Jesus did not say men ought always to preach and not faint. He didn't say men ought always to teach the Bible and not faint. He didn't say men ought always to have wisdom and not faint. He didn't say men ought always to evangelize and not faint. He said men ought always to pray and not faint. Prayer is the greatest power. We must have time to pray together. The more you pray together during courtship, the happier your home will be. Number 9 is a time for laying a strong family altar. Strong family altar. Go and ask all those women who are married now. And you say, why don't you do family prayer meeting? Say, daddy does not pray with anybody. Daddy say, go and pray your own. It did not start that time. It has started since. The go and pray your own thing was there before the marriage. Number what now? 10. It's a time to fight. What did I say? Fight, inverted comma. A time to fight. I will explain. Many, many years ago, there used to be this anointed marriage counselor called Walter Trubisk. Walter Trubisk, many, many years ago, before most of you were born, Walter Trubisk. The earliest book on marriage was written by Walter Trubisk in those days. If you go to Walter Trubisk and you say, Pastor, we want to marry. When are you going to be ready to conduct our wedding? The first question Pastor Walter will ask you is that, have you quarreled? If he says, have you quarreled? Say, no, Pastor, we don't quarrel. We love each other so much. There is no fight. We don't quarrel. He will say, get out of my office. Go and quarrel. So go and fight. So what he's trying to say is that you must demonstrate the ability to quarrel and to settle. So we fight and settle it. Say, have you ever had a fight? Say, no. The love is too much. It's a lie. So, and then number 11. It's a time for preparation of the wedding. Preparation of the wedding itself, proper. Then 12, preparation of the home of the marriage. Praise the Lord. So, there are 12 purposes for what? Courtship. I've already given them to you. What's number one? A time for what? Two? Three? Four? Five? Six? Seven? Eight? Nine? 10, 11 and 12. You can see that in all the 12 are given to you, I didn't say a time for sex, a time for kissing, a time for letting your fingers miss the road. It's not there. We're talking about pure courtship. Pure one. Not impure courtship. Pure Christian courtship. Not the courtship of the children of the devil, but the children of the Most High God. What are these 34 laws of courtship? I will tell you a few that we can break there conveniently. And then we'll continue next time. One. Courtship must only begin after you have discovered the will of God in marriage. Courtship must only begin after you have discovered the will of God in marriage. What did I say just now? Brothers, note that I did not say courtship must only begin when you have somebody who can do catwalking or elephant walking, as the case may be. I didn't say courtship must only begin when you got a lady with straight legs. Marrying a person because of beauty or handsomeness is like buying a house because of the paint. The paint will wear off. And where do we go from now? From there. The other time, I was humbled. Humbled. I'm very worried. When they packaged one woman to me for prayer, she ran mad right at CMS bus stop in Lagos. She ran mad in the full glare of the people. But people who were intelligent quickly packaged her and brought her at the headquarters. When I saw her, the face looked familiar. I began to ask questions. I discovered that she was a former Miss Nigeria. I said, yes, I've seen this face before. So, former Miss Nigeria. In that state now, where she entered our office and she wanted to start to urinate inside the office with the beauty, will any man want to marry her? No. So begin courtship only after you have discovered the will of God for you in marriage. Don't start courtship with anybody when God has not spoken. For God to speak to you, all that is required is that you move close to Him. He said, if you move close to me, I will move close to you. Everyone here in this gathering today, you are as close to God as you want to be. If you want to be closer to God now, begin to pray more, begin to read your Bible more, begin to pray in the Spirit more, you find that you become more spiritual, become more spiritual, become more spiritual, become more spiritual. And those who want to target high spiritual level, they are those who wake up in the middle of the night, pray for 30 minutes, 1 hour, and go back to sleep. Those kind of people, they're very strong. If you want to become a strong man in the Spirit, wake up in the middle of the night, maybe your sleep went off, or you went to the ladies, or you went to the toilet to ease yourself, come back, 20 minutes, 15 minutes, you pray again, go back to sleep. They are always very strong, such people. That's why I asked you to sing that song when I was going.
Open my eyes, O Lord. Hallelujah. Open my eyes, O Lord. Hallelujah. Open my eyes, O Lord. I am ready to obey. May the power of open eyes. You know, many people look, but only if you see. May the power of open eyes come upon your life. Receive it now. In the name of Jesus. Receive it now. In the name of Jesus. Law number two. Law number two. Someone in authority over you. Someone in authority over you must be aware of your courtship intention. That's law number two. Somebody in authority over you must be aware of your courtship intention. That is, your father, your mother, your pastor, somebody in authority over you must know. That is, don't do secret courtship. Tell somebody in authority over you. Not just anybody, not your friends. Somebody in authority over you. Law number three. Do not do anything in the secrecy of your room or any other hidden corner. Do not do anything in the secrecy of your room or any other hidden corner. So if you are cutting, if you are already breaking the law, then you are looking for trouble. Many of the problems that come later during marriage is when you are breaking this kind of laws. The consequences can be very serious. The Bible says, flee from every appearance of evil. Don't wait for it to turn to evil before you flee. Don't wait for it to turn to something else before you flee. Don't sit like a dummy and somebody is going all over your body and I say, brother, stop it. Stop it. I don't like it. Don't like it. Take your hand away from that place. Don't like it. So anytime you visit, the person wants to go all over you. Or anytime you are in the presence of the person is saying, you call yourself a man. Show it now. Show it now. Four. Law number four. Avoid sex completely. Avoid sex completely. And this includes any form of body contact that can fire up lust inside of you. It includes any form of body contact that can fire up lust inside of you. Avoid it. Every sex before marriage lays a terrible foundation for the marriage that is coming.
Because you are breaking the law of heaven, and it makes it so, so difficult for you to move on. And once you begin to sleep with a woman, and a woman begins to allow sex before marriage, what it will do is that it will block your spiritual eyes. All the information heaven is supposed to show to you about the family you are going to, about what you are going to, you will not get such information. And so you begin to live in the dark. That's law number 4. Law number 5. Withdraw from the relationship immediately you discover it is not God's will. Be courageous enough to withdraw once you know it's not God's will. Don't blindly go on. Withdraw. I had a lady. They were about to get married. They were courting. Normally, she didn't like mountain of fire prayers. She believed the prayer were too wicked and too unkind to pray. Anyway, one day, somebody dragged her to one of her services. And that day, we were talking about the secrets of God. When she got home, she now prayed, "Father, I want to marry this man, but I don't know much. Show me the secrets of this man. Show me the secret of his family. Show me the secret of his..." She prayed. She just prayed as an experiment. She was not expecting to see anything. But as she prayed, she now had a dream. In the dream, she found herself and the husband at the altar. A pastor was preparing to wed them. But as she looked at the husband, she was wearing a white flowing wedding gown. The man was dressed in suit. But as she looked at the husband, who was physically taller than her, in that dream, she found that she was marrying a pygmy. In fact, she had to be bending down to hold the hand of the man like this at the altar in that dream. It was still the same face, the same man, but it was now as short as half of this pulpit, and she was holding the hand like this, bending down. And she woke up. She ran quickly to me to say, "I had a strange man of God." "What does that mean?" I said, "But that's very straightforward. The Lord is telling you, you are marrying a baby. Straightforward, you are marrying a baby." She still went ahead and did that wedding. As of the last time I saw her, she had lost the front teeth and the right eye. And the marriage is no more. The time she was supposed to withdraw, she went on. 6. Live a pure and transparent life. Seven. Do not pretend in courtship. Don't pretend in courtship. That is, be yourself. Let your partner know the real you. Pretense is a dangerous game during courtship. Are you following what I'm saying? What was that last law? Say it again. Let your partner know the real you. So, my dear, what you like to eat? So, well, I like rice. Rice and meat. It's okay. So serve my dear rice and meat. Serve me rice and meat too. And they put a small portion in the plate. And the man says, is that okay? I say, yes, that's all right. That's all right. That's all right. When under normal condition, that one that you say is all right is just a warm up. I just pretended. So when the man is now thinking you don't eat much, whereas it's a lie. When you now get married and the plate is like this, I say, why? Pretense is dangerous. Be the real you. Law number 8. Don't double date. Do not double date. That is, don't be involved in two relationships at a time. Some believers do. It is a dangerous game. They call it extra tire. It's not extra tire. It's extra hellfire. Don't double date. That is, you say, I have the main one. I have the side attraction. So that if the main one fails, I can always rush back to side attraction. We don't do that. Point number 9. Listen to this. This may sound strange. Do not begin to wear the same attire. You are not married yet. Sisters, what did I say? Brothers, I found this. I just bought one for you. It's for both of us. Not them. They're not married yet. God forbid, if anything goes wrong, after you have been going around with your attire, people will say, look at you. What's the next point? Law number 10. Sisters should not turn themselves to cooks or dry cleaners. What are you doing there? Say, I want to wash brother's clothes. Who asked you to go and wash clothes? Right. What are you doing there? I want to go and cook for him. He wants to know whether I can cook. You are not expected to do that. If you visit the brother, you visit him as a guest. And this is what you really are. You are a guest. If he visits you, you can entertain him, but you never go to his own house to cook for him. Also, avoid cooking in your own house and carrying it there as if you're a mobile caterer. God forbid. If he eats that food and trouble starts, you will be arrested for poisoning. You must avoid secret courtship. Avoid secret courtship. Your pastor and your parents must be aware that you are into it. Courtship is never a secret affair. Any man who is trying to say, let's keep it secret, let's keep it secret, what he's telling you is that he has another interest somewhere else. Don't let them see us together. Don't let them see us together. You are walking on dangerous ground. How many laws have you covered now? Number 12 now. And this is where we're going to have a break, so that we can continue next time, so that we can do other things today. Number 12. Never. Three times I said it. Never cohabitate. That is living together before wedding. It is unholy and it annoys God. Never cohabitate. Never cohabitate. You go to a brother's house early in the morning, 6 a.m. You knock the door and a sister comes to open the door and he is not married. Say, sister, what are you doing here? Say, we are courting. Is this where you are living now? And the wedding is just 1 week to come. Our parents know we are here. No, it's annoying to the Almighty, and you are breaking the laws of courtship. I pray that the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. And that you will not make mistakes. Bow down your heads, beloved. Say, my Father, empower me to succeed. In the name of Jesus. My Father, empower me to succeed. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Say, any power, let your voice roar like thunder, that says my wedding bells will not ring. Can I hear you shouting this loud? Your voice is not loud enough. Let your voice roar like thunder. Die my father. In the name of Jesus. Open your mouth. Jesus' name we pray. Now pray these strange prayers loud. Say, ancestral wall of Jericho, blocking my marriage. Can you shout it loud? Scatter! In the name of Jesus. Peter Setiali Katanda Kaya Boshanda. Something is happening here already. Somebody have that sister over there. In Jesus' name we pray. Before we go into our prophetic hour, the hour where heaven will fasten your breakthrough on your head. Quickly bring out your tithes and your offering for this meeting. Father, we thank you for the tithes and the offering. A good measure pressed down, falling over. Let it be the lot of your children in the name of Jesus. Lay your hands upon their lives. Bless them to a dumbfounding degree. In Jesus' name we pray. We give the offering while the choir ministration is going on. Then after the choir ministration, I shall be back here for the prophetic hour.